163 at the bottom or Memhei on top. Okay, 2, 4, 6, 8, 11 lines in the bottom of the page. Okay, the Alter Rebbe is saying that when the neshama does Torah mitzvahs, remember we need the fuel to keep the fire on the wick, to keep godliness in the world, to keep the neshama in the body, you need to have Torah mitzvahs. So he said that especially happens when a person does action, because then it's becoming tangible, it's into the body, it's affecting the body, right? And he says, and therefore, the person at that moment is becoming totally one with Hashem. Okay, by doing the physical act. And he says, even though you're doing the mitzvah, right? And the mitzvah is affecting your body and your yetzahara because you're doing the mitzvah with it. But even though the essence of the animal soul, the evil midis, they're still not holy yet. You still have a nefesh habamis. You still have a yetzahara, right? You didn't transform anything yet. Mikomakim, he says a remarkable concept. Because they're breaking to kedusha. You're forcing them to do something of holiness. And they're against their will saying amen, meaning we agree. And they agree. And they agree to do the mitzvah. Through the powering, the overpowering of the godly soul in the mind. Sheshalat al alev, that controls that. Let me say this outside first. The Alter Rebbe says like this. When I do a mitzvah physically, my body is one with God. My nefesh habamis is one with God because I put money in the pushka, right? Who gives my hand the ability? Where do I get the strength to put the money in the pushka? This is coming from my nefesh habamis. That gives me life. We're not a tzaddik that lives only from the godly soul. We live from the nefesh habamis. Okay? That's the thing that's giving us the power to do the mitzvah. So he says, even though my nefesh habamis didn't become holy, okay, and nothing changed, so what did I accomplish by doing the mitzvah? He says, the fact that I got my nefesh habamis to agree to put the money in the pushka, or to put on tefillin, or to light Shabbos candles, and I did it with my body, okay, evil was broken. And if evil is broken, that itself is an unbelievable accomplishment, an unbelievable fuel. It says in Chassidus, a remarkable concept. If a person, let's say, is dying to sin, they really want to sin, and they say to themselves, you know what? Okay, give me 5 minutes, we'll sin. In 5 minutes, we'll sin. Okay? Two things happen. Number one, most of the time, 5 minutes later, your burning desire doesn't exist anymore. So you might not even come to sin. It says in Chassidus, even if you, in 5 minutes around, you do sin, the fact that you broke yourself for 5 minutes not to sin, even though you sinned, the fact that you held yourself back for 5 minutes not to sin is a tremendous pleasure to God. Can you imagine? And this verse says, tell yourself, you're dying to sin, say, you know what? In 10 minutes, I'll do it. Most of the time, the burning is broken, or you broke it already. So, and even it says, if you continue and you do both sin, it's still a tremendous thing. The fact that evil was broken even once, and the nefesh habamis, the yetzahara, and the body agreed to put on tefillin, bench lir, put money in the pushka, whatever the mitzvah is, he says, that is a tremendous revelation of godliness in the world. It does wonders. He says, v'heim b'shazu, and therefore the evil at that time, is b'chinas galus v'shine, evil goes to sleep at that time. You put it to sleep. Sometimes you do it a lot, you make it comatose. But meanwhile, at least you put it for an afternoon nap. Which means for those the minutes, nothing can happen. Lekach, and therefore, he says, Ein zu menia, it doesn't stop and block. Me'ashroes ha-shechina, from the resting of the shechina, al gufa odem b'shazu, on the body of the person at that moment. The question is, why is godliness resting my body? I didn't kill my Yetzirah. I didn't, I'm just doing a mitzvah for 3 minutes. Big deal. He says, the fact that you put it to sleep for 3 minutes, that itself is cause. And enough that Hashem rests upon you. You're bringing now godliness upon you. Just by breaking evil. And Alter Rebbe quotes a very interesting Gemara later. The Gemara discusses the hours of breakfast for all people. You know, when the gangsters would eat the first hour of the day because that's when they finish working at night and they go to sleep so they have breakfast. So it says, most people eat, let's say, the third hour of the day. Let's see, most people eat the third hour of the day. It's really the fourth hour, whatever. And the Gemara says, the scholars ate an hour later. They ate an hour later. And Alter Rebbe explains, the scholars learnt before breakfast, and they learnt after breakfast. So why couldn't they eat when everybody else ate? What's the difference if they eat breakfast at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock? They're learning until 10, and after 10 they're learning again. So what's the difference if they eat at 11 or 10? I mean, why can't they eat when everybody else eats? And Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the scholars just decided to eat an hour later just to break themselves. This is normal time for breakfast. We're not going to give in to the Yetzer Hara. We're just going to make them wait another hour. Even though technically it didn't matter because they learned before and after. What difference does it make? They said, just to break my Yetzer Hara, and we're going to eat an hour later. That little bit of breaking the evil is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment for the neshama in the body, and is a tremendous satisfaction to Hashem, to the extent, like he says, that is the fuel, the oil that makes Hashem rest on us. What?
Rest on us as individuals or even as an
army? Both. Both. When we do a mitzvah, right, we affect the whole world and ourselves. When we do a sin, we affect the entire world. More so, we affect ourselves. A person is a microcosm. We're a mini world. Whatever we do, like the equal scale, you know, whatever you do is good for the whole world, do bad for the whole world. Bottom line is, whatever we do affects everybody. Because we're all one big, happy family. When you have a pain in your foot, it affects your head? Yeah. Why should it? Because it's one body, so pain in the foot affects the head. One mitzvah for one Jew affects the whole world. One aveda for one Jew affects the world. But here the Alter Rebbe is just saying, the fact that a person breaks themselves to do a mitzvah and they force the nefesh habamis and the person to do it. You know, there's a very interesting halach in the Gemara. You know, it's a mitzvah of somebody, their animals are overloaded or whatever, you need to help them, to help them load or help them unload. This contrary to secular perspective. There's two people that need help. Both people are in the same predicament. Two people need help. One's your friend, one's your enemy. Who should you help?
Your enemy.
So Torah says, okay, you cheated. So Torah says, Torah says you do the enemy. You do the enemy. Why? Why? But a guy could say, you know, in the secular world, you say, listen, I'm helping, what's the difference? I might as well do it to my friend. Right? Torah says, yeah, but if you do it to your enemy, you're breaking yourself. Don't get this. Okay, well done to you.
I mean, like our enemy is like, kind of a malik, the malik in the world. That's what
we're not talking about enemies goyim, we're talking about Jewish enemies.
Okay.
You know, mothers and, I mean, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm saying, instead, when you have two people, in fact, the Gemara asks the question, the commentators ask the question, L'chaira, how you, if you have to love every Jew, what do you mean? The donkey of your enemy, the Torah says, and Acha, of your enemy, the commentators, how could it be an enemy? You have to love everybody, okay? But the point is, there is a concept in Yiddishkeit of just, and we're not talking about breaking yourself, fasting, and doing all that you know, all that massive stuff. Even in a slight sense, a person wants to do something, they say, you know what, I'll wait a minute to eat, let's say, okay, you know what, I'm going to eat 3 minutes later, just to break myself. That, again, you're going to eat it, and it doesn't matter. I'm talking about even kosher, yeah? Even kosher. You're just saying, you know what, I'm going to wait 5 minutes, just to give it to my Yetzirah, to break him a little bit. That's a tremendous accomplishment.
You're right.
Huh?
You're right. That's true.
And okay.
With food, you say, let me just...
Wait.
A few minutes after you eat very quickly a meal.
It's like in a shul, it looks like they haven't eaten for 10 years. You should make it look like you haven't eaten for 9 years. Just wait a little bit.
Or if you ever said something that you really crave,
Chassidim used to do that. Chassidim used to do that. But that's a very delicate issue. There's a pasuk in Tillim. The men say it before davening, before Mincha Friday night, in Kuv Zayin of Tillim. Re'evim gam tzmeim. It's a pasuk in Tillim, chapter 107. Re'evim gam tzmeim. They're hungry, they're thirsty. Nafshem bohem tisatav. Their soul is enclosed within it. So Chassidus explains, Baal Shem Tov said, why am I hungry or thirsty? Why am I hungry or thirsty? Because my soul wants to elevate that food. And Chassidus is brought down like this. So you think about it, it's remarkable. Torah makes sexual pleasure very powerful and food very powerful. Right? These are two powerful desires that human beings have. Why did Hashem make it so powerful? So it's a very simple, no, not the control, very simple. The food that Hashem created in the world needs to be elevated. We need to elevate it to Kedusha. If we don't have a craving for food, who's going to want to eat? So how would that food get elevated? Yeah? Hashem wants procreation. So if there's no desire, so then there won't be procreation. Instead, so sometimes, if you have a craving, you have to know where it's coming from. It's very delicate, by the way. It's a very fine line. Sometimes I have a craving for that food because that's the food that Hashem wants me to elevate. Sometimes, though, the person, when they're working with themselves, says, you know what? I'll eat it. I'll elevate it. But later. Or I'll take something else to elevate. Instead, that it's not so desirable.
You don't have to feel guilty.
No, that's the least of our problems, feel guilty. If you're in the mood, you try a little bit, you know, don't, I wouldn't suggest going crazy over it. We've got other things to deal with.
Control also an elevation, sort of? I mean, you're elevating you're controlling your Yetzer Hara.
Any form of self-control, b'chlal, generally speaking, any level of self-control shows that the person is refined, to a certain extent, depending on how much self-control, right? Just because you have something I want, right, doesn't mean I should get it. Even though I want it. But the bottom line is, but it's not mine. It's yours. One of the Ten Commandments, do not covet. Okay, so what does it mean? A person needs to have self-control. That just because I want to do something doesn't mean I need to do it. Unless if it's Torah mitzvahs, obviously, then. But that's not usually the problem we have. Something that I want to do, you know, Chassidim used to say, there's an expression brought down in Chassidus in Yiddish, was matar nisht tar minisht. Meaning, what you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to. And what you're allowed to, you don't have to. Just because you're allowed to, doesn't mean you have to. But no, but remarkable, what Al-Rebbe is saying over here is a deeper concept of it. That even if it's a temporary restraining, temporary breaking of evil, that itself creates a vessel for godliness to rest on the person. And he says, Lochein, let's start 6 times in the bottom of the page. Ein zu minia, this holding themselves back, is not holding back, me'ashrosa shechina al gufa adam b'shazu, that the shechina, the divine presence, rests on the person at that time, haino, which means, shakech nefesh achiyunis, the power of the animal soul, ha'malubesh ba'asiyas ha'mitzvah, like, let's say, you're going to give money to tzedakah, right? So, who's giving me the power to put the money in the pushka? The nefesh abamis, my animal soul that gives me existence, right? That's what I live from, in nefesh abamis. At that moment, the power of the animal soul that's allowing my hand to give tzedakah, nichlul mamish be'er Hashem, becomes included in Hashem, or meyuchad bei, and it becomes united with it, beyichud gomer, with a perfect unity. And not only that, by Yedeza, through that, in other words, even though Lucher, it's only my hand is giving the tzedakah, what does it do for the rest of my body? He says, no, the whole body becomes elevated. By Yedeza, mamshecha ora l'chlolas nefesh achiyunis, and this brings down godliness to the entire animal soul of the person, shebechol aguf, which is in the body. That means, not only my hand power becomes elevated, the entire animal soul becomes elevated, v'gam al guf gashmi, even the physical body, in a way of bechinas makom amal, encompassing from above, meireishif ad ragla, for head to toe. That means, when I give money to Pushka, or I put tzedakah, or I bench licht, or I put on tefillin, whatever the mitzvah is, my entire body is united with Hashem. The fact that my hand and the power of the Nefesh Shabbam is in my hand, which is doing the mitzvah, is becoming one with Hashem, that affects my entire body to become one with Hashem. And this is what it says, the Shechinta Sharya Al Reishay. What does it mean, the Shechinta is resting on his head? What do you mean, on his head? Al Daika. It means, on, meaning, it's superficial, it's not permeating it, it's resting on top in an encompassing way. V'chein, and the same thing, when the Gemara says, Akol be'asara, and every gathering of 10 people, Shechinta Sharya, the Shechina rests. Okay, you have 10 Jews in a room, doing nothing, the Divine Presence is there. Why? So if it's an individual, the individual needs to do a mitzvah to get this connection. But if it's 10 Jews doing nothing, as long as they're not sinning, doing nothing, the Divine Presence rests upon them. And he says, "Vine kol bechinas hamshachas er hashchina," all the revelations of the Shechina, which is bechinas gili er insav baruch, which is this revelation of God, ein nikra shini chas v'shalom b'yiz baruch, is not considered diversity or multitudes, and not in abundance. In other words, like this. Now the question is like this. And this is a very interesting question. Al Rebbe is going to quote the Sapikaitis to ask Rabbi Gamliel. If I do a mitzvah, we just learned, God is resting on me. If you do a mitzvah, Hashem is resting on you. They do a mitzvah, Hashem is resting on them. The guy in the other end of the world is doing a mitzvah, Hashem is resting on them. So how many gods are there? So how does it happen? This. He said it doesn't contradict the fact that it's not pluralism in God. It's one God. Just coming down in the place where you let it. And let's see this, and we'll explain this. Remarkable thing that Al-Tarebi quotes from the Gemara. And not only that, it's not even called God changing. Because if you think about it, before I did the mitzvah, was God on me? No, before I did the mitzvah. No. Now I did the mitzvah, God is on me. Is God changing?
No.
Why not? Before he wasn't here, now he is here.
He doesn't change. We changed.
He's always there.
What?
He's always there.
So what's the difference? Why, when you do a mitzvah, is God resting if God is there before you did the mitzvah?
Because we're doing the mitzvah, we're there.
So the Alter Rebbe gives what we're going to learn now. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, this Apicatus, this non-believer, this heretic, said to Rabbi Gamliel, how many gods do you have? He said, what's your question? He says, the Talmud said, this is the guy, I mean, the heretic, whoever he was, said to him, the Gemara says that wherever there's 10 Jews, God is resting. Right? So 10 Jews in this room, God is here. Next room, God is there. The other side of the country, God is there. So he said, how many gods do you have? Because based on what we just said, if you think about it, before we got 10 people in the room, God wasn't resting. Before I did the mitzvah, God wasn't resting. Now he is resting. So why is that causing a change in God? There's a before and after. Before he wasn't here, now he is here. So he says, if there's 10 gods, I mean, if there's 10 people and God is present, why isn't that causing a change in Hashem? And Gamliel gave him a very simple, but this is a fundamental concept in all of Chassidus. Rav Gamliel gave him a very interesting moshul. You have the sun in the sky. S-U-N, in the sky. It shines into this house, into that house, into the next door, around the block, around the country. Okay. How many suns are there? There's one sun. So why in this house is he shining? In other words, before I opened the curtains, the sun wasn't shining, so the sun wasn't here. Now I open the curtain, the sun is here. Why isn't that changing the sun? The answer is very simple. The sun is the same sun. Wherever you let him in, wherever you let him in, wherever you make a vessel, that's where he is. So if Hashem is all over, like the sun doesn't change if the curtains are open or closed. The only difference is, as far as we're concerned, is the sun visible or not visible? The question not, does the sun exist? The sun is there regardless whether my curtains are open or not open. The sun doesn't change before and after. Or the sun is not a million suns in a million homes. The sun is all over. I mean, relatively speaking. Wherever you let him in, that's where he is. And this is what Rav Gamliel answered this guy, but it's a fundamental concept in Chassidus. Because the obvious question is, if Hashem's all over, why is this book holy and the table isn't? Why is this room, because it's a shul, holy, and the gym is not holy? Is God any less in the gym than he is in shul? Because think about it. What makes the shul holier than a gym, let's say? If God is all over, so he's in the shul, he's in the gym. What's the difference?
What you do when he's like, shul is a keli
for Hashem. Oh, so the answer is that God is the same. But because a shul is davening in holiness, that creates a vessel for God to reveal, to shine in. To use the physical analogy of the sun, it allows it to shine in. That doesn't mean the sun is more here where the curtains open than it is in a home with where the blinds are drawn. What?
So is that here once that if like the man has a choice between davening and being alone, it's better for him to come to shul to daven?
It's always better to daven in shul because the shul is a holier place. Okay. Not only that, it says in Halacha also, that let's say if some person's sick, let's say they can't get out to shul, okay? They should daven the time the minyan is davening.
Because davening at home, you can have a shul at home, technically, if you have, 10 people.
Yeah, but you don't have 10 people, and the shul is primarily designated always for davening. The home is not only davening.
Yeah, but what is it that's making the shul
continuously utilized for holy things?
Not even the Sefer Torah. You could be a shul that, let's say, doesn't have a Sefer Torah, but the fact that...
It's a minyan. A minyan is 10 Jews, like we just learned. God rests there. But again, what Dalton Rebbe is explaining over here is a phenomenal concept. God is all over. The question is, like somebody once asked this kid, where's God? And the kid answered, wherever you let him in. Wherever you let him in. So the change is in us, like you said, the change is in us. The change is not in Hashem. Hashem doesn't change. The sun in the sky doesn't change whether, and I'll carry another secret. If it's a cloudy day or not a cloudy day, the sun also doesn't change. The sun doesn't change. And if you don't go in a helicopter above the clouds and parachute down, no. And then you see that the sun is shining. So the clouds also don't change the sun. The clouds only change how much of the sun we receive based on the vessel. You open the curtains wider, you're going to get more sun. In other words, every time you do a mitzvah, you open the curtain. So the more you open the curtain, the more godliness you're going to get, even though it doesn't change God. So he said, when a person does a mitzvah, especially with the physical body, then you're permeating not only your intellect of thought or speech, but you're also doing it in a physical sense, in a way that the physical body, the physical nefesh habamis, the physical world is affected, that causes godliness to be in the world. Especially, he says, when you break yourself to do the mitzvah. Like, remember the Tzemach Tzedek said, to this guy complaining he doesn't want to learn, he says, I have a bigger problem than you, I do want to learn. Because when you want to learn and you learn, you're not as great as when you break yourself and you learn. That's the... Okay, let's just see this inside. This the minute left. Though Amalahu mina that I'm Gamliel. This Apikur said to them Gamliel. Amrisi, you guys say, Kobe asaru shchinta shayu. Whenever there's 10 Jews, God rests. He says, Kama shchinta. So how many gods do you have? Veheishiv leyin Rabbi Gamliel answered him, Moshe me'er Hashem Hashem nichnes b'chaleinus rabim. It's the analogy of the sun, the light of the sun that enters many windows. Right? Meaning, the sun doesn't change, it's just the vessel that you made. The intellect will understand what I'm talking about.